I greet you this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that all is well with you. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church and the Light to Guide Our Feet Ministry. I call your attention to the Old Testament book of Jonah, J-O-N-A-H, the Old Testament book of Jonah. And in the Old Testament book of Jonah, the reading begins at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Jonah, J-O-N-A-H, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank you for this day, for this very day, whatever day it is. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your long suffering, for bearing with us. And thank you for your ministry, for your word. Thank you for the ability and for the permission to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Father God, in Jesus' name, please bless now this worship service. Look with favor upon the service and upon all who worship herein, in Jesus' name. Whenever this service is heard anywhere, at any time, whatever day or century it is, bless the hearers to your glory. Cause it redound to their good. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Call you back to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. For a short time, my friends, let's worship together using the topic, The Disobedient Preacher. The Disobedient Preacher. It is very clear that God had a man who was a preacher whose name was Jonah. It's very clear that God gave Jonah a command to go and preach. It is very clear that that preacher, and I don't want to criticize him, was foolish enough to think that he could flee from the presence of the Lord. It is very clear that apparently that preacher thought that the Lord was not in Tarshish. For a preacher to think that there is somewhere that the Lord is not is foolish. And I wonder if you are a preacher who imagines that you can flee from the presence of the Lord. And if you are, then you too probably are disobedient because you're holding an erroneous opinion of Almighty God, the God who is omnipresent. How can one flee from the God who is omnipresent? Now, many people do flee from knowing Him. There are people who, in their minds, have determined that they don't believe He exists. Not only do they not believe that He is everywhere, omnipresent, they don't believe He is anywhere because they do not believe that He exists. And that has been a situation perhaps almost as long as planet Earth has existed. There are always, it appears, going to be people who decide that they don't want to believe the Word of God. And there are those of you right now who don't believe this word which I have read to you. You don't believe that there was a man named Jonah. You don't believe that God gave him a command to go to Nineveh and cry against it. You don't believe that he was on a ship and that the sea became tempestuous because of him. You don't believe that he was thrown overboard. You don't believe that he was swallowed by a great fish that God had prepared because you don't believe God. You don't believe that he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And likewise, you don't believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, came to planet Earth and lived some 33 years and was crucified, dead, and buried. And 3 days later, the third day, he rose from the dead. You don't believe that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days? You don't believe that Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days? You don't believe Jonah got out of the belly of the fish by the power of God? And you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose again by the power of God? Because if you don't believe that God can do what the Bible said he did for Jonah, then you won't believe what the Bible says that God did for Jesus Christ. Oh, there are those of you who would say, oh, it's an allegory. It's a parable, you would say. Because for some of you, it is too difficult a task for God. You think there are things that God cannot do. And you don't think that God can have a fish that would swallow a man, that man would be in that fish's belly for 3 days without getting oxygen, you would think, from the outside environment, and that 3 days later that fish would expel that man from his body. You don't believe that. You don't study it. And when you are a preacher who doesn't believe that God can do miracles, more than likely you are a preacher who has not gained enough intellect to realize that no one can flee from the presence of the Lord. That no one can flee. It reminds me of Psalm 139, which I might read at this time. Psalm 139, and you might want to turn there with me, and then you and I will come back to Psalm 140. Psalm 139 reads this way, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me from my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 24. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 24. At least the psalmist has a sense enough to realize that he can't flee successfully from the presence of the Lord. But the preacher named Jonah apparently made himself believe that he could, because he told them he was trying to flee from God's presence. Sometimes we will do things that we ourselves know doesn't make sense. I think a lot of times the enemy is involved in that, tricking us into a situation where we trick our own selves. Jonah apparently knew that he could not successfully flee from the presence of the Lord. And many of you who sin know that. When you go to the hotel at night, and you do that which God says is sin, and you think that because you went to a hotel, you change your location, because you turn the light off, or you may go in the daytime and turn the light off, draw the curtains, and you think God is not present. And sometimes God has to cause a great and tempestuous storm to arise in your sea because of your ungodliness. Matter of fact, when Jonah was commanded to go, he was told that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before God. So how should he think that Nineveh's wickedness would come up before God, but his ungodly flight and disobedience would not come up before God or not be seen by God? When things come up before God, God oftentimes will send heavenly beings to do something about it. There was a region of the world known as Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain. And the Holy Bible says that their wickedness came up before God. God sent two heavenly beings, angels as it were, just two. God sent them, and when they left, the place was just smoke. The Bible said Abraham went out that morning, and the smoke of the place went up like a chimney. They destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and certain cities of the plain because their wickedness had come up before God. And Nineveh was on the same road. People think that God is not active on planet Earth, but I tell you, the heavens do rule. The Almighty God is active. He sees. He owns it. The earth is the Lord's, says Psalm 24. I won't go over there and read it, but you can read it. Read Psalm 24. It certainly assures you of God's ownership of planet Earth. Psalm 24. And so here you have the disobedient preacher who makes some foolish mistakes. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then the Bible tells us that he was fast asleep. Apparently he tricked himself into believing that he had escaped from what God had told him to do. And in disobeying God, we can hurt a lot of people. There were a lot of people in Nineveh, and God was going to overthrow it, destroy. And he sent Jonah in his mercy, in God's mercy, in his kindness, in his long suffering. Just before destroying it, he was giving them another chance. And some of you, God is giving another chance. For some of you, this is a Jonah preaching. You are hearing me tell you that you cannot successfully flee from the presence of the Lord. And some of you have been told to repent, have been asked to repent. You've been preached to for many years, for decades, and you have not repented. This could be the beginning of your 40-day reprieve, your 40-day mercy period. It could be you said, "Oh, Paige, you're trying to frighten me." No, I'm not trying to frighten you, but I'm trying to bring you to a realization that you cannot successfully flee from the Lord. And some of you are already in a fish's belly. Some of you are. Some of you are already in a sea that's tempestuous. Some of you are. Some of you, God is going to make sure that you do what he said do regardless. Jonah at least had the sense to tell them, and had the mercy to tell them, that if you throw me overboard, then the storm will stop. Some of you don't even have that kind of mercy on other human beings. You're willing to let God destroy you and them. But we must give Jonah the credit for having at least enough mercy on them to say, throw me overboard. In so many words, he was letting them know that that's how you all will survive. Whether or not Jonah thought he would survive, I don't know. I don't know whether or not he thought he would survive. But he had to know in his heart of hearts that God was everywhere. He had to know in his heart of hearts that God is the God of the sea. As a matter of fact, he told them in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9, and he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So he knew God had made the sea. He knew that. He may not have known what God was going to do to him, but he knew that the sea belonged to God. He was in God's sea. He was in a ship in God's sea. But God was rocking his boat. And some of you are in a ship in God's sea, and God is rocking your boat. God is rocking your boat, saying, go do what I told you to do. God is rocking your boat. Don't be a disobedient preacher. Don't be a disobedient preacher. Now, Jonah chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadest cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth was her bars. Verse 6 now. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There are times when our only hope, our only help, is the God from whom we have fled, the God from whom we are fleeing, the God whom we have disobeyed, the God in whom we are in disobedience, the God who has put us in a fish belly situation, a situation that feels like hell, and some of you have been there. Somebody might be there right now. You think there's no hope, no help for you, but Jonah had sense enough to know that there was only one place, one way to get out of his hellish situation. That was to look toward the God from whom he had tried to flee. Look toward the God who had put him in that situation as a result of his disobedience. Look toward the God who has allowed his whole world to be shaken because of his disobedience. But he had sense enough to look toward that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the only God who truly is God. The boy had sense enough to look toward Almighty God. When he did, salvation came. And he said in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Don't ever forget that. Jonah in the belly of the fish, when the situation looked impossible, when it looked like there was no saving of him, when it looked like there was no salvation, no way out of his ungodly, hellish situation. But he said, salvation is of the Lord. Don't ever forget that. No matter what happens to you, always remember, God is the way out. Salvation is of the Lord. He can save you from that hellish situation. He can save you from the belly of the fish, where you seem to feel you've been forever. Look toward his holy house, his holy place, his holy temple. Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Don't forget, my friend, Jonah, the disobedient preacher, in the depths of his ungodly and hellish situation, remembered the Lord. You need to remember the Lord. Some of you have forgotten the Lord. And that's why you're still in the fish's belly. But you need to remember the Lord and cry unto him. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Jonah said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Some of you are in soul fainting situations right now. Somebody, your soul within you is fainting. But Jonah said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When you remember the Lord, you pray to him. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Many people, the last word they say before the tragedy completes is, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. And some of them are saved just by saying, oh Lord. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants you saved. God doesn't want to populate hell. He wants you to come to heaven, but you have to be saved. Salvation is of the Lord, says Jonah. In Jonah chapter 2,
Verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. When you cry unto him, he's merciful and kind. So Jonah chapter 2 verse 10 said, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Note, my friend, that God didn't speak unto the fish until the disobedient preacher remembered the Lord and prayed unto the Lord into the Lord's holy temple. Oh, he could have spoken at any time, but you let him stay right there. And for some of you, you've been in the fish's belly. For some of you, you have been in the fish's belly for a long time. You're hard-headed, hard-hearted, and you refuse to believe that God is, and you refuse to pray to him. And you know God can let you stay there, and you would never get out, ever. But God is merciful if you pray to him. If you remember the Lord and pray to him. I'm talking to everyone, not just disobedient preachers now. This is for every human being. Your hellish situation may be of the Lord. Reverend, that's not what my pastor says. My pastor says God is loving and kind and gentle and meek and lowly. And you're preaching a gospel that my pastor doesn't preach, Reverend. Well, is it loving and kind for your God, for God to let you go to hell? God was trying to save a great city. God is merciful. God was trying to save Jonah, but he let him stay in that situation until he remembered him. And some of you have not been to church since you left home for college, except possibly for a funeral. Some of you have not looked to God. You have decided that in your empiricism that there is no God. You've been taught that. You're educated. You have what they call terminal PhD doctorate degrees. And even your friends would disrespect you if you mention a God. But you find yourself with your PhD and degrees, your terminal degrees. You find yourself in hellish situations, and you don't know what to do. And some of your friends have committed suicide because they refuse to remember the Lord. They refuse to pray toward his holy temple. That's why they are gone. That's why they are gone. And some of you are headed their way because you refuse to remember the Lord. You refuse to believe the Lord. You refuse to cry toward his holy temple. You refuse to believe that salvation is of the Lord. And many have gone their pernicious ways and are in hell right now. In hell right now. Because they refuse to remember the Lord. They refuse to pray unto the Lord, even in his holy temple. This is a good time for you, my friend, to repent. Well, that's not the entire story. Let's read Jonah chapter 3 now. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water." And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, the result of repentance. That's the solution. It was the solution for Nineveh. It was the saving of Nineveh. Repentance. And it's the solution for you, my friend. And it will be the saving of you. Repentance. God wants repentance. He's not wanting to hurt you. He's letting you hurt so that you will repent. But if you refuse to repent, your situation may be fatal. Nineveh repented. And the evil which God said that he was going to do to them, he did not do it. Why? Repentance, 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 repentance. Repent, 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 repent. Mark chapter 1 said Jesus came, in his first utterances, it appears, in Mark chapter 1, concerning salvation, was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Repent. My friend, you need to repent. Many of you have never repented. You've never repented. You laugh at the church. You laugh at preachers. But God can use a disobedient preacher. God can use a disobedient preacher. God can use a somewhat foolish preacher to bring you out of your hellish, failing, potentially fatal situation. Repent. You might not like the preacher, but don't cast aside the admonition and the command to repent. For repentance, the command to repent, is of God. You might not like the preacher, but the message to repent is from God. The preacher may have tried to flee from God. The preacher may have tried to hide from God. The preacher may have been disobedient, but the message, even if it came after God had to send the preacher the second time, the preacher may have disobeyed God the first time, but the message was still the same. Repent. That's my message to you today. Not mine, but God's. Repent, 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 repent. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. God knows what you've done. But if you will humble yourself and pray, repent, turn from your evil ways, God will hear from heaven. He will forgive your sin, and he will heal your situation. Repent, repent, repent. Now, the preacher doesn't have to be perfect. Jonah was not perfect. Let's read Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jonah was mad because God's salvation came unto Nineveh. Perhaps it was because Nineveh was a great city of Assyria, and Assyria had put Israel to tribute. And apparently, or maybe it was because of Jonah's anger against Assyria, that he wanted the Ninevites to be destroyed because of what some of them had done to his people. He was mad when God saved Nineveh. And God had to do another little demonstration to teach his prophet about the importance of human life. So he says here in Jonah chapter 4, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" If I'm correct, the score is 20, and 50 would be 100, and 60 would be 120. So Jonah was mad because God saved the lives of 120 human beings and the animals, the cattle. Jonah was mad. You see, when you hold things in your heart against people, when you hold things in your heart against people, preacher, 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 oh, they're going to treat us wrong. They're going to do this and that. But our job is to do what God says. Even when God says, save the enemy, even when God says, save the people who have hurt you, even when God says, preach to them and try to save them, that's the preacher's job. That's the preacher's job. You don't get mad. I'm not going to preach to them. I want God to destroy them. Oh, what they do to us hurt us. But God has prepared for us an inheritance, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You need to fight a good fight. Fighting that good fight requires helping a whole lot of people who would never help you. Requires loving a whole lot of people who have no love for you. Matter of fact, they hate you. But your job, if you're a preacher, your job is to preach to them. The ones who say, leave me. Get away from me. Move on. Move. Go away. Go. Flee. I don't want to hear you. I don't like you. I don't like your preaching. They say these kinds of things. Who are you to tell me what to do? I do what I want to do. You can't prove it's any God. They say those kind of things. But when God sends you to preach to them, you best preach to them. When God sends you to love them with your heart, all your heart, your mind, your strength, with all you have, you best love them. When God sends you to help them, you best help them. Jonah got mad. Now God could have slapped him off the earth. I don't know why God was merciful to Jonah. I wonder if it was because the boy was honest. Some of us try to hide what we are thinking when we're mad at God. We shouldn't get mad at God or mad at what God did. But the thing about Jonah, at least he just said it. God, I knew before I left my home, I knew you were merciful and kind. In other words, I knew you were going to do this. And it sounds like the boy is saying, I didn't want you to do this. That's why I didn't come at the first time. I didn't want you to save these people. They've been mean to us. That's what it sounds like he's saying. Because here in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, here's what Jonah says. After God has used Jonah's preaching to save 120,000 people in Nineveh, in addition to the cattle, here's what Jonah says. Jonah gets mad, and here in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, here's what Jonah says. Here's what the Bible says about Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. That means God's salvation to Nineveh, God saving and not killing 120,000 people, displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was mad because God refused to destroy 120,000 human beings. The preacher was mad. What kind of preacher is that? Well, the Jonah kind. Are you the Jonah kind of preacher? Are you the Jonah kind of preacher? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So he knew all that about God. That's why he didn't want to go preach. He didn't want to save. He didn't want God to save the people he hated. Some of you hate people, and you don't want God to save them, but you call yourselves Christian. Some of you hate people, and you don't want God to save them, and you call yourself Christian. Some of you who call yourselves Christian, you hate people, and you don't want them to be saved, and you won't preach to them. You won't even tell them about God, because you do not want them to be saved. You're fleeing your preaching posts. You're fleeing your missionary posts. You're fleeing the Great Commission. You are fleeing the Great Commission because you don't like them. Their people harmed your people in times past. Their people treated your people bad in times past. Their people treated you bad in times past, and you don't want them saved, so you won't preach to them because you want God to destroy them. Jonah says in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, it says here, and he prayed, Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, talking about Jonah. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said in verse 3, now therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Consider that question, my friends. Jonah chapter 4, verse 4. Jonah 4, 4. God asked the question, doest thou well to be angry? Perhaps some of you need to answer that question. You're mad, you're angry at people. You don't want them saved. Matter of fact, some of you prayed for God to destroy them. And you're angry. But God asked Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" The disobedient preacher disobeyed God. God had mercy upon him and saved him from the fish's belly. He went and preached, but now he's mad. And God asked the question, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Perhaps that's a question that you need to answer. If you're disobedient to God, if you're a disobedient Christian, and particularly if you are a disobedient preacher, particularly if you are a disobedient preacher. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the lessons, not one lesson, but numerous lessons that you teach us in the book of Jonah. Search us and know us and see if there be any evil. Search me! Search me! Search me! Search me! Search me, Lord! Search Clarence William Page and know me and see if there be any evil in me. And whatever there is, in your mercy, your grace, your love, your kindness, make me fully holy everywhere to your glory. And cause it to redound not only to my good, but to the good of everyone to whom I minister. In Jesus' name I thank thee and I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My friend, if anything that has been preached today has touched your heart, if you have repented, if you have been saved, be sure to contact a Christian minister and or ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.